What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. All righty. I didn't tell Erica that I was going to do this on here, but it just occurred to me that we should probably announce our hiatus, Erica. Ryan, you are the last episode of True Crime Binge for the near future. Congratulations, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Right. And where you're at in New Zealand, that's it actually happens a day later than it happens for the rest of us. So that plays into this somehow, right?
Yeah.
But no, real quick to our audience, we've got a bunch of stuff going on and a bunch of moving parts right now. And Erica and I have decided we're going to hit pause on True Crime Binge for a little bit. We plan to be back. We just have to get some things in order for a little while. So, and I'm sure the ones of you that listen every week are really bummed out about that, but we'll be back.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Erica's mom.
sorry, Erica's mom.
And with that said, Ryan, as our final guest, you better bring it today. The final guest of the.
I'll try.
Yeah, we were just discussing before we hit record that I didn't remember where New Zealand was until the moment I heard Ryan say one word, and then I was like, "Oh yeah, that's it. It's down there by Australia."
Bob's really bringing his A game for our potential final episode.
Yes, strong geography game that I have going on. But now you were telling a story right before that you said you went to Canada, and because of where you're from and nobody knows anything about New Zealand, apparently you can get away with anything. And you told the people in Canada that there's no moon in Australia, and you laughed, and I was like, ha ha ha. But then I was like, wait, is there no moon in Australia?
You're like, is he just telling a story or is this a joke? I'm not sure.
Which part are we supposed to laugh at?
Yeah. Like, are they idiots because they thought there was no moon, or are they idiots because they didn't know they were asking for a friend?
Yeah, no, there is a moon here. But,
follow up, is it the same moon that we have here?
I'm not sure.
Laugh at me, Erica.
Maybe the QAnon followers might say something different, but I'm not sure. I think it's the same.
Right. Is your waning while ours is waxing? We don't know. It's a mystery. That's the world will probably never figure out.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that there'll be some listener out there that knows.
Yeah, and they'll be sure to call me an idiot on the internet. People love to do. Ryan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bob and Erica.
Especially all the way from New Zealand. I know with the timing was a little different. So is it, I just saw you drinking coffee. Is it morning time there?
It is morning. It's a good time though. 9 o'clock. It's, I don't know if you can see behind me through the window. It's a nice blue sky day. We're in spring here. So yeah, ground myself up in a nice little coffee.
It's snowing like crazy here. I can barely see out my window.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Rubbed. Is it snowing down in Indy also, Erica?
Yeah. Not happy about it.
Yeah, fuck this. Let's go to
over
New Zealand.
It.
Yeah.
Why do I still live here?
Check out that moon.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Check out that New Zealand moon. So, this occurred to me that what I did to look outside today, I saw my dogs outside playing, and I thought it was so nice. And Erica tells me that you've just celebrated your dog's Achilles' birthday, first birthday.
Oh, you do your research. Yeah.
Some call it research. Others call it stalking. It's, you know,
yeah, it depends how you look at it.
It's a fine line. He's a German Shepherd. Yeah, he's just turned a year old. Yeah, and I always like to spoil my dogs when it comes to that. My last Shepherd, he passed away last year at the same sort of time. So
there's the dead pet. We can't get through an episode without a dead pet at every single time.
Yeah, cue the
wouldn't be a true crime binge episode.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but yeah, German Shepherd, he's awesome. But you know, 1 year old, he's very full on. But yeah, I love it.
So I just posted an Instagram reel today because I have a year old German short haired pointer and a 9 year old German Shepherd. And the puppy is bringing out the puppy and my old man, German Shepherd. So I was like, it just warmed my heart to look out and see rickety old Ruger out there just trying to prance around and play with the puppy out in the snow this morning.
My mom actually bred GSPs and she used to send them overseas and stuff. So, yeah, they're good dogs. Good dogs.
They're, yeah, they're great, great dogs. So she bred them there in New Zealand and then shipped them.
Yeah, well, I think they're really well bred, and she would ship them all over the place if people wanted them, kind of thing. But good hunting dogs.
Yeah, that's what mine's. Well, he also sleeps on my pillow, but he is my bird hunting dog also. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep. So we do both run here. Now you are by trade an interesting combination, an actor and a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. I've kind of led an eclectic a life of eclectic mix of different things, but yeah, I went to law school. I was sort of always an actor, I guess, you know, through school, drama and everything, but I never really considered it a possible profession. Went to law school, and then at some point coming through there, I sort of started getting into it. And I don't know if you remember a TV show called Spartacus that was on.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. So I sort of got involved with that in the stunt department. So, yeah, I did, I think, season... Gotta go back 2 and 3 in that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of stunt work and stuff, sword fighting and basic things. I wasn't sort of some crazy stuntman, but you know, doing sort of in the middle of a bit of acting. And then from there I started doing some more acting roles and in New Zealand, some different TV shows, a lot of TV commercials. Sort of never got my big break, but you know, for a few years there. And up until now, yeah, it kind of became a way to actually sort of, it was my primary income, let's put it that way.
Oz, one day, True Crime Binge reach out to you, and finally, your big break. You get.
I know. This is it, right?
On the final episode. Yeah.
So, Erica, your eyes lit up. I take it you've watched Spartacus?
Yes, I loved that show. And I like, because it's 3 seasons. The first season, for those of you who don't know, the Spartacus is played by one actor, and then unfortunately he passed away, and then he was replaced, which is normally a very difficult thing for them to pull off, but they did it. It was a very interesting way they approached that show, and it's not for everybody. Like, if you like Game of Thrones, you might like Spartacus.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yes, I love it. But there's a lot of dick jokes in the beginning of season 2, so you'd like it too.
Oh, well, then I'm in. You know, I love a good dick joke. Yeah.
It's not a comedy either. No.
I remember my first day on, I don't know if this is what the PG rating of the show is, but I remember the first day I was ever on there because I was in stunts, but they were like, hey, man, like, we're short an extra for this scene if you want to go. And I was like, oh, okay. I had no idea. And I get there and it was just TNA everywhere because it was some orgy scene or something. And they needed a guard to stand at a, you know, and
right.
That was the only time. Where
can I stream Spartacus while we're on the time?
It was on the Stars.
On the dark web.
It was on the Stars network back in the day.
Nice. Mm.
So you were a stuntman in that. So like when the actor had to do something dangerous, you pretended to be the actor.
Nah, so more, you know, like it was more to do with like, there's a lot of big battle scenes and fight scenes in that show. So we would have there was about 20 of us that were sort of specifically trained to do certain fights. So you might have, if you've got the two leads, say, fighting in the foreground, we might be the battle guys that are like just that next step behind, having big battles. And yeah, so we were the ones that were always there sort of actually kind of getting hurt, but we're part of the big fights, not necessarily like a stunt double.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so we were more just part of the big fight scenes, and there was a lot of those. So
yeah,
you know, one thing I notice about actors that aren't American, they tend to be very good at, especially the ones that are on like American shows. I don't know if you've ever been on it. Was it some Spartac? Well, Spartac, produced by Starz. That's an American company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have to do all sounds like you probably didn't have speaking lines in that, but no. One thing I'm always impressed by people that can completely mask their accent. You know, a lot of British actors, you'd like, I'll watch them interview. I'm like, what the fuck? like, how do they like,
Yeah, I mean,
had any training in hiding your accent?
Yeah, so on Spartacus, no, I wasn't. But I was on the Shannara Chronicles, which was another TV show, which was an American show. And I had to do an American accent on that show. I was only on there for an episode or two. But yeah, I don't know. It's sort of, I guess it amazes even me because some of these people are so good at it. But I suppose for us, we're listening to American media our entire lives, right? So. I'd be scared if I was an American trying to do an Australian or a Kiwi accent. That would be
really. Yeah, yeah. Can you give us your best rendition of an American accent? I want to know what we sound like.
That's mean. You got to put him on the spot.
Your best rendition of American accent? What, Bob or Erica?
Wow. No, I'm going to give you my Kiwi accent.
Oh, fuck.
I'm not going to give you my Kiwi accent.
Because you don't have. Yeah, us Americans, we watch only our own media and nobody else's. So. Yeah.
Listen, we believe that we're the center of the earth and everything revolves around us and everyone should conform to our ideals. Yeah. And by the way, we don't know what those are. Our ideals. can't even agree on that stuff.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So you said that being an actor was your primary income. But you're a lawyer. So are you a practicing lawyer?
Yes. No. I mean, so when I went through, it was kind of one of those things when I went through law school, it was sort of in the back of my mind, I thought maybe I'll be a criminal lawyer. That was what I was interested in. But I was also involved in a couple different sort of business things with some friends. And I was sort of, I always knew I wasn't likely to actually be a lawyer, but I always just felt it was a really good sort of framework to have for life in general and anything I might get into. I think I did go to one interview when I finished my degree and didn't get that. And then I was like, I'm just going to do this business that me and a friend were doing at the time. But I never practiced, certainly went through and did the bar and passed that and everything.
Wow. That's what does the university system look like in New Zealand? Because like in America, you would have parents with a $300,000 student loan debt that would be super pissed right now.
Yeah, see, that's the thing I've always kind of wondered. So we take on the loan ourselves personally here, and the government will, they basically will guarantee that, you know, there's no, any person who wants to go to university can, and you can get a loan, but that'll be on you. And then so when you're done, and people get lumped with these loans for their entire lives, basically. So, and I think oftentimes people just go to uni just because, and then they end up with these loans, but like me, you don't actually use the degree. But yeah, I mean, in the States, so do you not have that same system where you can get a student loan?
We do.
Oh, right.
But people just don't. Yeah, people can get student loans. Is the cost similar? Listen, and yeah. I'm only asking, I'm thinking about moving because I have two teenagers that are going into college in the next 2 years. And if it's cheaper in New Zealand, we might relocate.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you're a Kiwi, it's heavily subsidized. But I mean, I think to give you an idea, this is you're probably going to laugh at this. I think to go right through law school in New Zealand on the subsidized rate, it probably only cost about 20,000 New Zealand dollars when I went through.
Total,
yeah. Which is probably what.
Wait, is one New Zealand dollar worth 1,000 American dollars?
Is this like the yen or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think for foreign foreigners that come, I think you might be looking at maybe about 20,000 a year. So maybe more like 80,000. But yeah, it's heavily subsidized for New Zealanders. But yeah, I mean, it's very cheap.
Yeah. And do you have any idea what it's pretty similar, isn't it? I would imagine. Cause I know Australia is pretty close to the dollar, American dollar to New Zealand dollar.
Yeah. The New Zealand dollar is pretty much the same as the Australian and the Canadian. So around, okay. Just slightly lower. So the American dollars might be almost double, worth double ours.
So 40. So to put that in perspective, my son is going to an in-state college at Michigan State University starting the fall. And we just got our estimate and it's $30,000 a year for in-state college. Like, so at that rate, like if he went through law school, which he's not going to do. that it turns into $200,000 real fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And out of state's even worse.
I guess the number I was saying as well, that's not including, that would just be the tuition. That wouldn't be for any boarding or food or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you're including that in the overall cost.
It's still way more expensive.
Yeah, so usually like tuition will be, I'm trying to remember even what I went to Michigan State a while ago and I'm trying to even remember what it was. It was about that same, you know, about that 20,000. I think it was a little bit less back then per year. And that's cheap for most schools these days. Yeah.
It's frustrating because our system, our collegiate system in the United States is just so ridiculously expensive. I mean, for, you know, when you look at other countries, you know, I know like in the UK, I think, you know, anybody can go to university, same thing in New Zealand and a lot of countries. And here it's like, yeah, you can go and we'll guarantee you a loan that you'll take the rest of your life to pay off if you get a job outside of college.
You know what they won't guarantee you is a job.
Right. Yeah. They'll just guarantee you that the student loans. But so that's cool. So you went to school to be a lawyer, got out, decided you run a business, became an actor, got a couple of German Shepherds, one rest in peace. He's passed away. But Achilles is a year old and you're married and you have one on the way, huh?
Well, I'm engaged, But yeah, I mean,
I saw a ring. That's all.
yeah. If Ashley listens to this, she'll laugh because we've had to put off the wedding twice, I think, because of COVID. You know, one time we had the big glass marquee booked and everything. We've lost thousands in deposits, and it got to the point where like, let's just not even worry about this for a little bit. But to the second thing you said, yes, Ashley is heavily pregnant at the moment, and I mean,
pregnant. I like that.
Yeah, 2 weeks ish, maybe.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So,
so by the time this episode comes out, you could
listen to it with Baby Wolf.
Yeah.
30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you're among them, know that you're not alone and that there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the 5 root causes of thinning: stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism, through whole body health. They have 3 unique formulas to support women throughout all stages of life, including postpartum and menopause. Each formula is physician formulated using natural, drug-free, medical-grade ingredients in consistently effective dosages so you get the most reliable results. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months, and over 3,000 top doctors and stylists recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. And that's why my wife uses it. She doesn't have a problem with thinning hair, but she's never been happy with the health of her hair. So she started using Nutrafol a few months ago, and she has been thrilled with the results. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code BINGE to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BINGE. So have you guys made new plans for the wedding, or you're just like, let's just get this baby thing out of the way first and then we'll figure it out?
Yeah, I think we've sort of loosely made plans for next summer. So basically a year from now for us. But I think that now we've decided, like, let's just pull everything back and just make it. In New Zealand, it's all about outdoor weddings, you know, we'll marquees out in summer, and I don't know if it's the same in the States or not, but yeah, I think Ashley's dad, they've got a farm, so we're just going to hire a marquee, put that with a band, and just keep it simple.
Interestingly enough, another cool tradition in the United States is that we like to go $100,000 in debt for our wedding, too. A lot of people do.
that's what people do here, too, and I don't get it.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, yeah. I don't. Especially if you get married as many times as I have. I mean, it really starts to add up after a while.
Oh, Bob, who's funnier, you or Brent?
Me or who?
Brent, your brother, because you're both comedians, are you?
I like to say me.
Yeah, that's an unbiased answer for sure.
I'll tell you this. I get more stage time than he does. I mean, he gets 10 minutes up front. I get an hour at the end. Also should be noted, I book the show. Mm. So I decide who gets the stage.
Yeah. Well, so you're throwing him a bone then, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, you know, little feller, get him out there, let him tell some jokes, see how it goes. He built the stage that we work on.
Yeah, you know,
it broke during our last show. It was funny, in our last show, I made a comment about how it was so impressive that he built us this nice platform to stand on, and made a joke about it. And then 2 minutes later, I turned around and it split and broke and
came
apart. It played nicely.
Yeah, I bet.
So thought that counts.
All right, so you go to law school, you got all this stuff going on, and then one day you're like, hey, I want to start a podcast. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I sort of just became a fan of podcasts. So we do, about 5 years ago, me and Ash got into sort of the property development game, I guess, you know, like flipping houses and that kind of thing. And so because of that, I would end up by myself a lot working, you know, I'd do most of the work myself. And, you know, so because of that, I'd have earphones in listening to podcasts and I got into the true crime thing, especially investigative podcasts. I really liked that kind of thing. And I remember just thinking, I thought they were awesome. And I always sort of thought, I reckon I could do one of these if I ever had time or if I had a case that came along. And then, yeah, just I guess, a couple Christmases ago, we were all having a few drinks at Ashley's mother's house, and everyone was just talking, and then there was a local case about this guy, Jordan Vidori, who got shot and killed in a nearby town, and it was never solved. And it was a case that always sort of bothered me. And I remember just saying that, you know, as you do, you know, after a few drinks, oh man, I'm going to start a podcast about this. Yeah. And then I did.
Right. Rarely does that follow through to the past the hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just went and bought, I had no idea what I was doing. And I just sort of went and bought some equipment and some, you know, pretty basic equipment. And I just thought, right, well, where's a place to start? And, you know, I did some research and I found there was this quite outspoken woman in that town who owned this antique store that was right next to where he was murdered. And I just walked off the street and into her store, and it just went from there. It just snowballed. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And I've listened to some of quite a bit of season one of Guilt, where that's where you cover that case.
Yeah.
And it's really, I like its long form investigative work. So for my listeners, like if you like Truth and Justice, only with more entertaining and less long interviews that you don't want, you know, that police recorded on a shitty microphone 20 years ago, season one of Guilt's great. And then season two just came. When did season two launch?
Well, so season two, I think I released the first episodes in September and it just finished now. So
okay.
I think the final episode was a couple weeks ago. Then the Q&A episode comes out next week. So yeah.
Awesome. And so that's the case we're going to discuss today. I haven't listened to that season yet, but season two Guilt covers, from what I've read about it, what a bananas case. Like the disappearance of a guy named Jim Donnelly from 2004. And I'll let you tell the story, and I've got like some Batman Joker vibes going on, like super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you like those kind of cases that just leave you scratching your head and every corner you go around turns out there's another corner and then side alleys and then it's so the basic thing is there's this guy, Jim Donnelly, and people call him a scientist and you kind of can. He's technically a production engineer, but basically a chemical engineer, super smart guy who worked at New Zealand's largest steel mill. He gets up one day to go to work, you know, makes his kids breakfast, goes to work, signs in, puts his muffin on the table, and then is never seen again. And that's where it all starts. And we're now 18 years on, and there's been no sign of him. So I got in touch with, I heard about this case, and I was like, wow, this is quite interesting. So I got in touch with his wife, Tracy, who has doggedly just never let this go for all these years. And she said, hey, yeah, I'd be happy to be involved in a podcast. And so I went and met with her, and yeah, it's been 8 months I've sort of been investigating that. And it's been completely crazy. And along the way, though, I've just gone through and re-interviewed every person I could find and spoken to people that hadn't been spoken to before. And I think, if you listen to the podcast, you'll find that the story that had been told is not quite the story that probably should have been told.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's a lot there that got glossed over or missed over time, and just some shoddy police work as well. Yeah, but it's a super, super interesting case.
Yeah, so I read that he did, it seemed like something was going on in his life for like the week leading up to it. Everybody said he wasn't himself.
Yeah.
Acting strange.
And that's the thing with this case, is that it's not just the guy goes missing. You know, so on the Monday morning he goes to work and he goes missing, but it all sort of started the previous week. He suddenly wanted to join the Freemasons, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Freemasons.
Yeah.
Decided he wanted to join the Freemasons, but then sort of that didn't happen. And then he told his wife, he started acting strange and told his wife that he had to go to some meeting. And she's like, what kind of meeting? And he wouldn't explain himself. And he said, I need some good clothes for this meeting. So he goes and hires a suit, like a dinner suit, like a nice suit. And they're obviously fighting and arguing about it. But he takes off. No one knows where he went. No one has any idea, but he was gone for 2 hours and then he came back. But he said to his wife before he left, I may be a bit fragile after this meeting. And she says, do you mean physically or mentally? And he says, physically. But he comes back and he's perfectly fine. Then the next day, on the Sunday, before he disappears, he says to her, I have to go and avert a crisis in a waste. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then off he goes again for another 2 hours and no one knows where he went. Well, we did pinpoint him to the same location due to an FPOS receipt from him buying some takeaways. And he shows up at a car park of his friend's work, but he's acting really bizarre. But there's still an hour of lost time there and no one knows. This is 2004 and, you know, we did have CCTV back then, but it's not as prevalent as today.
Right.
So, you know, there's that mystery about the days before he left. He was acting very, very odd. And then he was the day at the steel mill, the morning he went missing, when I said he put his muffin on the desk and disappeared. He was seen around that time just acting strange. You know, one guy that I spoke to said they saw Jim coming upstairs towards him. And then when Jim saw him, Jim sort of stopped and paused, as if he'd been caught, you know, like didn't know where to go. And then the other guy went the other way. And another person said they saw him sort of turning in multiple directions. And then the biggest part of it is his things being found in a vat of acid at the steel mill. That's always been the real crazy part.
Well, that's where I have questions. Because the first thing when I was reading about it, I hear, you know, there's a vat of acid that somebody thought they saw him near or something. And then they get in there and I'm like, oh, did they like throw his body in there and it dissolved it? But then they said they pulled out like his wallet and his credit card and his Palm Pilot and stuff like that. So the acid obviously didn't, would that acid, that type of acid, dissolve a body completely?
Yeah. So that's one of the common sort of misconceptions of this case. I mean, when people, And it actually goes both ways, is that it's hydrochloric acid, so it's still an acid, but it's not a kind of acid that will dissolve organics. So it won't dissolve. Okay. You could throw meat in there and nothing will happen. But if you threw a piece of steel in there, it will dissolve that steel and it will dissolve other things. But just organics and plastic, it doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
In the acid vat. So 5 days after he disappeared, suddenly his helmet was found sitting on a walkway. And so during that 5 days too, the mill had been shut down. People had been searching nonstop. Then suddenly his helmet appears next to this vat of acid. And then, of course, because they find the helmet with his name, they check inside the vat. Yeah, and then that's where they find basically what you'd imagine the contents of someone's wallet, like your cards and things. Palm Pilot, like you said, his glasses and other things to do with that. But yeah, so in the course of my investigation, I actually found some things out about that acid vat. I don't know how much we want to do spoilers or whatever, but let's just
say that's up to you. We should probably save the spoilers for the podcast.
Let's say that, you know, there were some different, I spoke to a one of New Zealand's leading sort of chemistry professors, and there's some properties about the acid that weren't quite what everyone always thought. And there were some other things that went into that vat that the police didn't realize at the time. And so then the real question is who put those things in the vat? That's what the real question is. Was it Jim? Did he put those things in, or did someone else put them in there? And that's the $1 million question.
Well, and then the $2 million question is, where the hell is Jim? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like he was in the building, his car's there, and then he just poof, disappeared. Like, and it's been, what, that was 2004, so 19 years ago.
Yeah.
No one's ever found his body, nothing.
You mentioned the Freemasons thing. That was something that I hadn't heard before, that connection. And that immediately made me think of, if you've watched the rebooted Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, the first episode of them coming back was the Ray Rivera case, who, really quick, he went missing very, very mysteriously. They found a hole in a roof and found out that he had somehow gone through this roof and died and was found there. But then his personal belongings were like undamaged right next to that hole. It was just very, very, very weird circumstances. Comes out later that he was acting strange, you know, leading up to this. He got a phone call and just bolted and left. And then it comes out that he had been also entertaining the idea of joining the Freemasons. That's weird to me. This seems like a lot of similarities just so far.
If there are any dangerous Freemasons listening right now, I want you to keep in mind that it's Erica Cantor, who has made that connection. I think you guys are fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with whatever you guys are doing. Erica, though, she's the one you want to look for. Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was going to say, hey, on, you know, we've got like a Facebook discussion group, and the amount of people that say, hey, the Ray Rivera case, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Heaps of people. And I mean, actually, I know of it. I probably need to go back and watch that. But I think people that do know that case well have said once they really got into Jim's case, they're like, I mean, the Freemasons are loosely involved in this, but it doesn't really line up. But, you know, the Freemasons, it certainly adds a totally different element to it. But I've spoken to the Freemasons specifically, and they're not as closed up as they used to be. Like, they're much more open to speaking now. And I couldn't find any actual connection there, but I mean, it's still possible. We don't know. And
sure.
Like Bob said, his body's never been found. So.
Yeah. And to be clear, I don't think there was ever like a concrete connection made between Ray and the Freemasons either.
Now she backs off.
No, I was actually going to say, I'm sure that's what they told you, because that's what they want you to think, is that we're so open now.
Yeah. Are those the same fellers that ride around on those tiny little motorcycles at the parades?
I don't think they do that.
That's what I'm talking
here.
About.
No.
I have no
idea. The Shriners, you ever seen those guys?
No,
they dress up in weird costumes, and at the parades, they ride. Is it maybe that only happens in my tiny little town?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're grown men, big grown men. They wear funny hats, and they ride around on teeny tiny little motorcycles and do tricks.
Are they gypsies or carny folk?
I don't know. I thought they were Freemasons. Shriner, somebody listening is going to chime in and let you guys know that I haven't lost my mind. This is a thing. They're called Shriners. I was always led to believe they were part of the Freemasons, and I certainly hope this turns out that I'm the smart one and you guys are the dumb ones here, and not the other way around when we figure out to get to the bottom of this.
Well, you did start the episode by thinking that New Zealand was in Europe, so
that's true. I didn't say I thought it was. I was just In my mind, I read New Zealand and I'm like, oh, this guy's up in boring. I was, for some reason, my brain saw that and thought Norway. And
I think people think that because they think of mountains and snow and rivers and they think, oh, it must be some Scandinavian country.
Right. To be clear, I know where New Zealand is. It just didn't click.
Honestly, it's fine. You don't need to, like, we get it.
It's that place. It's down by Australia. They don't have a moon.
at least not the same one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the jury's out on what kind of moon or whose moon they have. But this has been fun. I'm telling my listeners to go listen, but I'm anxious to listen to season two of Guilt because this story, just reading it, is super interesting. And I said, so I've listened to some season one. I like your style there. You cut in the interviews. Your sound design's great. So definitely check that out.
When I go back to and I listen to season one, like, I kind of cringe. I'm like, ugh, because,
you know,
it's like
everybody does that.
You know, because it's a work. And at the beginning, you don't really know what you're doing. And over time, like, I listen to season two and I'm like, okay, this is okay. And I go back and I'm like, oh, God. But people still really love it. So I guess it must be okay. Yeah. But
and believe me, there'll come a time when you're on season 12 where you'll go back to season two and be like, oh, what was I thinking?
I know.
But that's the beauty of my favorite thing. And this is a good point before we go on our hiatus here to point out that one thing that we've tried to do, well, you know, we support the big shows too, but I'm not even talking big, little, but the independent content creators, it's getting harder and harder for people like you and like us to come in and not be attached to Amazon or Spotify or some huge network, but just to come out and learn ourselves and do the work. And over the last 2 years, we've had over a hundred independent creators like yourself, and yours is one of the best. You've done a fantastic job. His name is Ryan Wolf, and the podcast is called Guilt. Season two just wrapped up, so you can listen to season one and season two. Season two covers this crazy case we just talked about, the case of the disappearance of Jim Donnelly. Check it out. Could be your next true crime binge. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And for you listeners, it's really been a pleasure. And Erica, over these last couple of years, and we should be back. We'll probably be back.
We've got to say, we'll be back.
I hope so. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure. And once again, that's Ryan Bolt. The podcast is called Guilt. Check it out. Could be your next big true crime binge. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. Co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weber. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found @BobRuffTruth. Janet can be found @JanetVarney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.